Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's Gwen and Chris and Scraby today on The Fan. Chris is out, Tony's in, playing musical chairs, but we're making it happen. Now, we're going to play Chris versus The Fans here in a few moments, and you have a chance to qualify. If you beat Tony in Gwen versus The Fans, you have a chance to qualify. That needs to go in an open. To win our grand prize,
needs to be open.
A private VIP pod at the Westgate Superbook, the largest sports book in the world, a $250 food and beverage credit, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Legendary Vegas fun. Must be at least 21 to win. Tony was showing me last week before we went to our Thanksgiving break. He was showing me the monolith in the Utah desert. You remember
yes,
this, Tony? Have
I
you
do.
Heard the news of the monolith?
It's gone.
The monolith is gone, but a yes, new monolith appeared in Romania looking the same way that the Utah monolith looked like.
Who has the time to just drive out in the middle of places and build this thing and then
exactly, that is the point. No one has that time. The extraterrestrials have that time.
So you mean to tell me the extraterrestrials are coming down using our regular screws and things of that nature? They have all kinds of
space
top of the line equipment. They're going to use our stuff to build this monolith. I just don't buy it.
I feel like they're stuck here on Earth. They are trying to build something out of the resources that they have that will contact their home planet to come and get them.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it. Look at this monolith in Romania. And the Romanian mayor was very happy that this monolith showed up in his town. I don't know if I would be that happy that a monolith showed up in my town. But there's been just crazy amounts of stories of this monolith. And when you debunked it
for
me last week.
I know you're here for it.
I went into complete search mode yesterday after I heard about this new monolith in Romania. So
I'm sure you did.
I will keep you up to date on everything monolith here in the next couple of days.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Look forward to it.
And right now, we'll get to Gwen versus The Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus The Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't let Tony fool you. He is pretty good at this game. So don't.
Come on.
I mean, you usually win more times than not. I would think so. The rules for the game are you have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Tony gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. Yesterday, Chris lost to the first contestant. He also had a huge issue with one of my questions.
I heard he was a little salty about it yesterday.
He was. And I got a ton of tweets saying that my question was right. So I was very, very happy about that. But he was fighting it forever that Ronaldo was Cristiano Ronaldo. There's no other person on the earth named Ronaldo that played soccer.
See, he could claim because of he could claim soccer ignorance here and say there's no other Ronaldo than Cristiano. No, but that's not the case. There.
I would have said, and this is what I said yesterday. I would have said Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
I'm just glad I didn't say Ronaldinho or something like that. There's a ton of Ronalds out there in the soccer world. So
R O N is a starting point for a lot of last names.
Yeah. Let's go to our first contestant here. You are playing for the Las Vegas qualification. Corey, you have been waiting on hold for a while. Corey, do you believe in the monolith?
When you guys were talking about it the other day, it was the first time I heard about it. So let's go with yes for now.
Oh, okay. First question out of the way. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Corey, here we go. Question number one. You are taking on Tony for that qualification to Las Vegas.
Good luck, Corey.
Corey, how many yards is the penalty in the NFL for intentional grounding?
I'm going to say 5 yards.
5 yards. Tony, do you know? Oh, gosh. I'm all out of my element.
If it's not five, I think it's got to be 10. I don't think they have a 15-yard penalty, 15-yard intentional grounding. We're going with 10.
What about 20? 20 yards. 20, 20. 10 yards.
No, 10. Okay. 10.
Sorry, Corey, you waited all that time. I'm so sorry. Thank you for calling. Call back tomorrow.
Thanks.
And he even believed in the monolith. I mean,
To be honest, I didn't know about a monolith until you mentioned it, and then I saw it.
And then you saw it, right there, and then you showed
I'm
me.
Right there with you, Corey. I didn't know what it was until the other day, and Scraby was talking about
it. I'm just preparing everyone. I'm going to ask everyone about the monolith real quick before they get started in the game. So, Tyler, do you believe in the monolith?
I mean, I believe it exists. Now, your little alien theory, I'm not so sure about, but it definitely exists.
Okay. See, he's thinking about it, like, rationally.
Right. Like, that's what we like, is rational people.
Like, it actually did exist on the Earth, but my theory is wrong. I understand. Yeah. I do. It's a little out there.
Spot on.
It's a little out there, but how did it get to Romania? Anyway, Tyler, question number one. What was the name of the Russian boxer faced by Rocky Balboa in the best Rocky? I added that. Rocky IV.
Oh, God. I hope I pronounced it right. It's like Drago?
Drago?
Yeah, we'll go Drago. Let's go with that.
You should go with that because that's correct. Ivan Drago.
Nice work. Yeah, I
almost said
watching...
Goran Dragic. That would have not been correct.
I think he plays in the NBA.
He plays for the Heat. Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
What were you going to say about Drago?
I was going to say I just remember Drago thinking he was never going to be beat in Rocky IV because the training session he was having was amazing compared to Rocky.
Well, they were shooting him up with steroids the entire time. I mean, how many times in the movie did they show them like prepping the needle?
They did. Showed that quite often.
Well, Rocky's just eating raw eggs. That's all
and
he's
running
doing.
Upstairs. Yeah,
running upstairs. All right, Tyler, you moved on to question number two. What is former Lions head coach Matt Patricia's favorite sideline accessory?
A beanie? Does he wear a beanie all the time? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think. He doesn't wear a beanie, but he is in Detroit, so 8 Mile makes sense. But that is incorrect. Tony, do you know what accessory he likes?
I do. You find it in his ear, in his mouth, in his beard occasionally. I think it's the pencil.
The pencil.
It's correct.
Good job. Sorry, Tyler. Appreciate you calling in here. Let's go to our next contestant, David. David, how are you?
What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem. Here we go, David. Question number one. Oh, yeah. Do you believe in the monolith?
No. No.
Hang with him, dog.
Hadn't really heard about it prior to this whole ordeal.
This whole ordeal, yes, exactly.
It is an ordeal. Here we go. I'm going to ask the hardest questions in the world now. Just kidding, David. Question number one. Who won the 2019 Heisman Trophy?
2019?
Yes, last year's.
What's the kid's name? Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow is correct.
Oh,
got
yeah.
it out.
I really
barely got it out.
One of my favorite parts of this game is when something enters the head because you can feel it. You can feel like, thought of it. Here we go. David, question number two. TV announcer Chris Collinsworth played all of his career with what NFL team?
Collinsworth was the Eagles.
The Eagles. Stay there. I don't know that Tony knows this.
I do.
He does. Okay.
It's the Bengals.
It's the Bengals. Tony's correct. Sorry, David. Thank you for calling.
Well, I've only had to answer like two.
I'm trying to put someone on hold. That's why I'm dramatically stalling.
Okay.
Let's go to our guy, Michael in Lemon Grove. Michael, how are you?
Michael, what's up?
Hey, doing well, guys. How about yourself?
We're doing well.
Yeah.
Doing well.
Yeah. You ready to go? Question number one?
Let's do it.
I'm not going to ask about the monolith anymore. Because I know Michael doesn't believe in the monolith. I just feel it.
No, it's a good PR scheme for Romania.
For Romania?
Exactly.
What are they getting out of this monolith thing? All right, here we go. Question number one. Where was the 2018 Winter Olympics held? I will take city or country.
Sochi.
Sochi. Sushi.
Before.
Mm-hmm. Tony?
Yeah. I don't remember at all, so.
I don't remember at all. is incorrect. It was at Pyeongchang in South Korea.
Oh, that's right. South Korea.
Yeah. Here we go, Michael. Question number two. NBA superstar Russell Westbrook wore what number throughout his career at UCLA?
Zero
is correct.
Nice work, Dave.
What number is he now?
I'm trying to think of that. I think it's zero still.
Is it?
I thought it was zero. That's so wrong. I can't think.
I can't see him in another number, so it has to be zero.
It has to be zero because we wouldn't be that wrong. I thought 23 for a second, but that doesn't sound right.
I know he wore zero at UCLA. I just, for some reason, cannot see his number right now. I think it's zero, though.
Okay, here we go. Our first contestant today to reach question number three. Carlos Beltran in the 2012 season became the first switch hitter to hit 300 homers and do what?
Didn't you ask this question like a month ago and everybody was confused by it?
Oh my gosh, I did. You just outed yourself. It's steal 300 bases.
I don't remember the answer. That's why I said it.
It's steal 300 bases, but he is right.
So you got to give him a different question.
How did this end up back on the sheet? All right. Question number three. Baseball Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson began his major league career with what team?
I can only picture him as a Yankee.
The Yankees. Tony, do you know?
I think it was. I can only see him in another. The only other uniform I can see him in is the Athletics.
The Athletics.
This is a long, dramatic pause right
here. I'm stuck because I need the city.
Oh, I don't Oakland?
If this was Chris, he would be so angry right now. You got the team right. It was the Athletics, but it was the Kansas City Athletics.
Ah, wow. Well, David, guess what, man? You're the winner then.
Yes. No, Michael.
Oh, excuse me, Michael. Guess what? You're the winner. Congratulations.
Michael, I'm going to put you on hold, okay? I'm going to get you in the break.
All right. Well, that was a long Chris versus Gwen versus the fan there. We're going to get to break. When we come back, we got some LeBron James news, and it's not Taco Tuesday. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. 4:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, not in. Matt Scravey is, however, filling in his co-hosting duties today, taking over for my man Chris Ello, who is doing the Aztec women's basketball game tonight as they take on, is it St. Catherine?
Correct. Got to hit that button.
Oh, yes, you do, because I was like, uh-oh, I can't hear him. That's not good. That's not good.
We've
at all.
Had that problem before.
We have. So, I teased before we went to break, LeBron, there was some LeBron James news, and that LeBron James news is significant for Laker fans. He has signed a 2-year extension, taking him through the year 2022-23. And let's just say he is quite wealthy after this extension. He
not after just this one.
Well, he was already wealthy. Let's get that straight. No, there's no question about that. But he gets an $85 million extension. The Los Angeles Lakers, as well as his agent Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, told ESPN and multiple outlets today, James, who turns 36 later this month, averaged 25.3 points last season, 10 assists, a career high for him. He will be 39 when this contract ends. The details, James is now set to make $39.2 million for the 2021 season, $41.1 million in the 21-22 season, and a $44.4 million in the 22-23 season. So,
wow.
This gives him, this lines up the speculation with his oldest son, Bronny,
all right,
who
will
be graduating high
this.
School at this point. And that's been a lot of the speculation. He wants a chance to play with his son. Never have heard those words out of LeBron James's mouth, so don't know that it's necessarily true. But it gives us something to talk about here on the radio.
Yes, it does. And I think that would be really cool. I'm not the biggest LeBron guy in the world. Obviously, he deserves what he gets because everywhere he goes, he brings a title to that organization. So he deserves it. I mean, I can't.
He's pretty good. He's a pretty good human being.
Yeah,
too,
he's also. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo today tweeted out he's not going to call himself the best player in the world until LeBron James retires. Basically,
he said that if and when he becomes the best player in the world, he will step to the forefront. I believe he said, and will say so. Right now, he doesn't feel that way. He feels like LeBron James is still that guy. So
that's why he's being paid
85. When the two-time MVP in back-to-back years is saying that he is not the best player in the world, I think we all should take heed and listen.
We should, definitely. And I wonder how much money is there really in basketball? Because think about how much LeBron James is making. Think about other guys. Anthony Davis is probably going to be making around $30 million here in the next couple of years per year. Like, I just don't understand where this money in basketball comes from. The NFL is the one that's printing money, as they say, but they can't. They seem to be less or having troubles.
It's the NBA is global, probably more so than the NFL. You know, the NBA is continually growing, and you're dealing with smaller roster sizes. You're dealing with smaller stadiums. So I think it's a little bit easier to manage. Although I think they probably, and when I say they, Major League Baseball and NBA are probably the two sports that get hit the hardest during this time in terms of not having fans in the stands because that goes a long way in terms of the money. But clearly, there's still enough in the pool for there to be an $85 million extension. And nevertheless, LeBron is deserving of it. I mean, the dude said he was going to bring a title to L.A. He did it. He did that in 2 years. I think that's pretty impressive. He had a right crew. LeBron, listen, for a lot of the flack he gets, man, he is just a good leader when it comes to your team. You look at the kind of turmoil that we're reading about in Clipperland over there. It's a little bit different. It's hard to imagine that being the case with LeBron James. I mean, I read the Athletic article today concerning the Clippers, And the thing that you take away from it is, and no matter what situation, no matter how good players are, if you put them all in a room and they don't mesh and the personalities don't mesh and you don't have the type of coach that can kind of make those personalities kind of mesh, it's going to be tough to win no matter how talented you are. I mean, it just seems if when you read that Athletic article as it pertains to the Clippers, and hopefully we can get somebody on. I think we're trying to get Andrew Greitch on tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to come on tomorrow.
From Los Angeles Times to talk a little bit about this. But you read in the article that, you know, there was so much special treatment given towards Kawhi and Paul George. And because those two guys aren't your vocal leaders, they're more kind of lead by the example type guys, that didn't mix well with the guys that they had there prior to that, when they surprised everybody and were a threat in the Western Conference. Not necessarily a title threat, but they were a good team, a tough team. When you have the guys who are the better players who aren't the lead by voice type of guys, are more lead by examples, and the guys who are there are the vocal ones, it puts people in positions that I think they're uncomfortable with. And you saw that kind of implode on the Clippers when it got down to when they had to close it out, right? They mm-hmm. were up 3-1 in that Denver series. By all accounts, it should have been a no-brainer. They should have won, but they blow that lead in part because they really didn't have anybody to lean on when it came to that vocal leader. I think they all just thought it was going to be okay, and it turned out that it wasn't okay, and they got bounced. And so now you got a new head coach in Tyronn Lue, who I think will do a good job for that Clipper team. He's come into a situation before where he's quote-unquote had to hold the better players accountable, and he did that. I believe that was the year the LeBron James and company came back and beat Golden State that year. So he has some experience doing it, but he's got his work cut out for him, because I'm sure there's a lot of distrust, and maybe there isn't, because two of their big pieces are on different teams. Montrezl Harrell is now a Clipper, and JaMychal Green is now a Denver Nugget, ironically. He headed over that way, and those were two of the kind of do-the-dirty-work type of guys that they had on that club, and now they're not there. It will be interesting to see what kind of job Tyronn Lue does here to kind of mesh these two together. But on the other side, and the Clipper, on the Lakers side, they seem to be moving in a completely different direction. They've gotten younger. They've retooled, I guess.
Retooled. I knew that was coming. Shout out Al Thomas.
They've gotten younger. I think another year with the core, I think this team is going to be even better. So we'll see how that all plays out. But certainly L.A. basketball should be very, very interesting. Come, by the way, the season starts in like 2 weeks.
We were talking about that
just
yesterday.
Mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. By the way,
it really is mind-blowing.
Like, I'm listening to Kevin Durant talking about the opening of training camp. I'm like, wait, that's coming up in a couple months. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's happening literally right now. They're having training camp just opened up. That's just crazy to me.
Well, for some of those guys, they haven't played since March if they didn't get invited.
Right.
I mean,
for the bad teams, they're itching to get out
there. They're ready to do something.
For the teams that were in the bubble, it's like, man, this is a pretty quick turnaround. But you got to do what you got to do.
Do you think
that's great?
Do you think the Clippers are on the verge of breaking up? Well, I know that Kawhi's only under contract, I believe, for one more year.
Both Paul George can go after
that's
this
not
year.
A good look as the team leader, quote unquote, the silent leader, to because I read the article and we've talked about this before, of him supposedly making the Clippers late for team flights, which would anger anyone who's a coworker of anyone that you know now I'm waiting on you because you're coming from San Diego, and choosing which games they sit out. I could see how that could cause a big division.
Absolutely. That would listen. We don't listen. This is stuff that's being reported. We don't know how true it is. There's a lot of sourcing in the NBA that were confirming this stuff, but just the actual characters aside that we're talking about, the players we're talking about in general, those things would annoy any one of us, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can't leave. The bus can't leave because you're waiting on a player because he's driving from someplace else, or they're sitting out of this particular game, or they're sitting out of this particular practice, and everything is all good as long as you're winning. the moment you stop winning, those things all start coming to the forefront. And it seems like if you read that article in The Athletic, it seems like that's exactly what happened when it came time to close out Denver, and they just could not get it done. So we'll probably address this more with Andrew Greif of Los Angeles Times tomorrow. So if you want to listen, because, you know, I was accused at one point of not talking any Clippers basketball. Well,
it's not true.
I have done my best to make sure we did talk about some Clippers basketball. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, Scraby's got a big five, and I'm excited to get to. I haven't had one in a little
bit.
What?
So, you're excited for a big five?
I am excited for a big five. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwen and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into the Big Five, I just want to say this hour is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 at 97.3 The Fan to listen to the Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, host of the show, has over 40 years of experience in finance and was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing, 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings on 97.3 The Fan. If you have any topics for me in the Big Five, you can send them over to me on Twitter at Matt Scraby and Instagram, and you can find Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Whew, that was a lot to say. Now it's time.
Number five.
For the Big Five. Now, you just told me something in the break that was pretty shocking. I should have told you to keep this tweet. But I was reading a little bit about the NFL, and so far this season, do you know the NFL has administered over 700,000 COVID tests just up to this point? That is an incredible amount of COVID tests.
But that speaks to why they are able to weather the storm. Because they have the money to keep doing testing and isolate people and... You know, it's an easier job to do when, I don't know how many guys are in the NFL, when you're only trying to, you know, keep these that particular population under control as opposed to, what, 100-something million people we have here in our country. It's just
totally. And that's why you see college football having such a hard time with it as well, because they're not able to keep up. These NFL guys are being tested daily.
We said it from the very beginning that the money in the professional side would trump what any of the collegiate things could do, right? That's having so much more of an issue. They don't have the same means that the professional side has.
So that's not the question, but you were reading to me a tweet about the NBA, and they were testing, and they had some positives that were up here in the first part of the spring training. I should have kept...
They tested 546
there you go.
NBA players from the 24th of November to the 30th. And came away with 48 positive COVID tests.
That is concerning to me if I'm the NBA, because I don't want my training camp to get shut down before it even gets started.
Well, I think two things on that, right? You pay attention to it. Obviously, the infection rate probably is a little higher than it was when they did the bubble
last time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably expected. Everybody was out in their own worlds. Now... they're coming into training camp. I think it's expected. But what the NBA does from here is what they executed so well during the bubble was each time they came out with this mini test, the numbers just kept going further until they were zero for virtually the last, 2 months, 3 months of the season.
Well, I was watching and reading something about the testers within the organization and who has to actually test these players daily. And they were saying it's a very stressful job, and I completely agree with them. They're just testing every day. They have to get everything right. They can't get it themselves, because what if they pass it to someone else? So it got me thinking, and Tony, who do you think within an organization has the most stress due to COVID? Players? Front office? Employees?
The most stress?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I would say the owners. And here's why is because all of those people you name are all under their guidance.
That's
like,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so the person given the test, the player, everybody who's under that, neath that umbrella, is all his responsibility. And if he or she mm-hmm. is dropping the ball, that's who everybody's going to point the finger at. It's going to be at the owner. I would say their job is probably a little more stressful, and maybe not even so much the owner. Like, we can go down a level, like the GM or someone who is going to be the face. Because owner's not going to be the face if something goes wrong. It's going to be the GM. So I would say that they're probably the most stressed, the GMs.
Yeah. I didn't even think about the GMs or the owners. I guess ultimately it is their job and then the owner's money. But I was thinking it was more on the people that are day-to-day testing and day-to-day trying to get these guys to stay good within their own team bubble. Like baseball, there was no bubble, but there was a team bubble. And you keep within your team bubble.
You were trusted to keep that bubble tight, too.
And I think that's most... I think that, again, we've heard so many times that this last 60-game season took so much from everyone within the organization that I don't know how they're going to be able to do a longer season and do the same stuff. So, I don't know.
That's a really good question. I mean, just think... And listen, you would hope in year two that guys, the issues you had early in the season that almost cost you the season at one point, everybody's a little wiser and knows how to deal with it. It's going to be interesting.
Did you hear why the Baltimore Ravens had an outbreak?
I didn't. I did hear about the Denver Broncos, why they had their outbreak.
Because they weren't wearing masks within the quarterback room and... They were made an example of, but no, the Baltimore Ravens, one of their assistant strength and conditioning coaches.
I saw somebody got in trouble.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to be a play. It wasn't a player.
No, it was an assistant strength and conditioning coach, and he was one of those no mask guys, and he would walk around the facility with no mask, and he came in with symptoms, didn't say anything, and then boom, everybody got it.
That's,
I don't want to be that guy, is all I'm saying. I'm never getting a job in the NFL again after that. Number four. Right. Tyreek Hill, he had an amazing game on Sunday. I played against him in fantasy, and he ended my dreams of a playoff spot. It's okay. He was on Inside the NFL.
He dropped, what, 58 on you?
58.9.
Yeah, 58. That's tough.
Didn't he drop 62 on you in another league?
He dropped 62. Wasn't on me. It was in another league I was in. He dropped 62, and just safe to say, the guy who had him ran away with that one.
Yeah, it was also very, very disheartening to know that your playoff dreams are dead in the first quarter of the game because he had 200 yards and like two touchdowns.
Yeah,
but
he did.
He was on Inside the NFL, and he was asked about what he thought of Patrick Mahomes in the first week of training camp, the first time Patrick Mahomes came into training camp, and here is what the cheetah, is that what they call him? The cheetah or cheetah?
The cheetah, yeah.
Cheetah. Here's what he had to say about Patrick Mahomes. I just hit play on nothing.
I thought it was trash. I ain't gonna cap. I ain't even gonna cap, man. When he first got there, I was like, they who y'all drafted right here? They who y'all drafted? Hey, y'all. Hey, but look, he proved me into a whole complete, I don't know, like it just that second year, like his quarterback mechanics were different. It was like he was spending more time with his quarterback coach, spending more time with Coach Reed, like learning the offense. It was like, dude, it's like different.
Tyreek says he was trash.
Yeah, and for those who don't know what no cap means, it just means he's no lie. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to lie. He was trash is what he was trying to say.
That's not the question. I'm not going to go TMZ and say, do you think this will break up the team?
That would be your usual route.
That would be my usual route, but not today. I'm going to ask, and I'm up first, is Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes the best combo in the NFL right now? I would say yes, but the other two would be Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf. And what they did on Monday night with DK getting 10 catches, 177 yards, and Russell Wilson only passing for like 230 yards, so he threw everything to DK, basically.
Pretty much.
But right now, I mean, also you have to say Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, but I think right now Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes are the best combo in the NFL, quarterback, wide receiver, hands down. I don't think anybody can argue with me, Tony.
I think you could actually argue they're not even the best duo on his team.
Him and Travis Kelce? You could argue
that him and Travis Kelce are... have been a stronger duo for a little bit longer.
That's true, yeah.
I obviously put up 200 yards in a half. It's
people are going to
in a quarter. People are going to gravitate towards that. But I think there are a couple good duos. Obviously, Mahomes, Kelce. You just mentioned Devontae, Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Metcalf. Yeah. You could throw in Hopkins and Murray.
Oh, yeah,
you could throw those two in there. They're having a terrific season. But right now, I would say it's actually Mahomes Kelce as the number one duo right now in football.
Interesting. I was thinking that I wasn't thinking outside of wide receiver, but that makes sense because Travis Kelce basically plays as a wide receiver when he needs to.
If I'm not mistaken, Travis Kelce is third in the league in receiving yards behind Metcalf, Hill, and then I think it's Kelce is third.
I'm going to waste my year with Travis Kelce on my fantasy team. It's gone. It's done. I took a little offense to Tyreek saying that too. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'd be like, wow, you thought I was trash? Yeah.
I think that was more fodder for the show.
For the guys to laugh about.
I mean, it was a perfect. I thought he was trash. I mean, everybody can go back and say, yeah, when they first saw him, I thought he was trash. But clearly, he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
I know, but if you. Because clearly, I'm the best sidekick, villain, producer, co-host on this show. And if you were to tell me on this show only. But if you were to tell me that.
That I thought you were trash at first?
It would hurt my feelings a little bit. It would hurt my feelings, but I'm a little bit more sensitive than Patrick Mahomes, I think.
I'll keep my feelings to myself.
Oh, man. The NFL has hired former World Rugby CEO Brett Gosper to become its first head of Europe and UK, where he will be tasked with expanding American football across the continent. He brings to the job a number of skills and experiences that align nicely with the NFL's needs, mainly overseeing a sport that is done in some markets, but still relatively obscure in other strategically important locales. Tony, will the NFL ever be the quote-unquote world's sport?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think there was a time that they had a chance. But I think with, over the last 10 years and the development of how dangerous football is, I think they've kind of lost some of their momentum. And when you look at a sport like basketball, we know baseball is pretty global as it is. I just don't see the NFL getting there. I really don't. I can when people who aren't from the United States talk about football, they look at football as an American sport. Mm-hmm. I don't know that baseball or basketball has that same kind of connotation behind it. I think people look at it as a global sport. So I think the NFL's got a ways to go. I'm not sure that they get there, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting that they hired a guy who did rugby, because rugby is very popular in a lot of parts of the world. And it's not very popular here at all. Actually, we had a guy call last week who wanted us to talk more rugby, so we did. Because sure I can't remember your name, but we did talk some rugby. I don't think they'll ever become the world sport, and I think you hit it on the head, no pun intended, that the concussion issue is a big deal, and I think a lot of people aren't investing their time into something that they don't think is going to be around for much longer.
I'm not sure that it won't be around, but I think before, when we didn't know as much, and when I say we, I'm talking about the world in terms of the damage the football can do to your body, it was an easier sell. I just think now, with us having the more information, it's a tougher sell in other countries.
Good point. Good way of wording it as well. You did much better than I did.
Number two.
Andy Martino of SNY TV said something recently that is being called the worst sports take of all time.
By who?
by a professional reporter slash broadcaster, not a producer of a show in San Diego, because I make plenty of them. This is slightly out of context, but you'll get the gist of what he is saying in his clip from TV the other day.
Winning a World Series isn't really a reasonable goal for a baseball team. It's a nice thing to have happen, and it's ultimately the top of the mountain. But a general manager and the head of a baseball operations department is more interested in putting a good process in place. The organizations that I mentioned in that tweet are the model organizations in the game.
All right, that's it. But he was being ripped on Twitter for basically saying that. And then someone
was his take that that's how GM should be doing it, or was he just saying that's his perspective of what GMs are doing?
The latter, his perspective.
Okay.
And a bunch of people photoshopped different pennants from pictures saying process of 2002 or something like that, which I thought was really funny. But is this the worst sports take of all time? I am going to say no, just because I know how hard it is sometimes when you get started with something, you know it's not coming out right. And not that he's at all thinking that he said anything wrong, but I'm going to leave it to you, Tony. Is this the worst sports take of all time?
It's kind of hard to give you an answer based on just that soundbite, but if he's trying to say that the goal shouldn't be a title and it should be about the process, I think it is the worst take ever, if that's what he's saying. However, if he's saying that, in his opinion, GMs focus on the process more so than they focus on the title, I wouldn't say he's 100% wrong. There are certainly GMs that seem to focus on that process. And one we can highlight very quickly because he no longer is a GM, and that's Lou now. Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like his process was more important than what actually was going on the field. So much so that he wasn't willing to take any responsibility for the processes that got his team in a whole lot of hot water. And that's just one example. I think for the most part, GMs, they want to win. They want to win a title. That's how they get to keep their job for a long. You win a title in any team, that's a window that it gives you to, honestly, you could be terrible for a little bit of time because you have that title. It gives you a little bit more cachet, some more power. So I think, depending on what my man's take was, it could have been the worst take, or he could be pointing out some of the processes that seem to take priority over championships in some organizations.
You're a very nice human being, because not many people were nice. Not many people were nice.
I only heard a snippet of his soundbite, so I couldn't judge it off of it.
Well, I went through and I tried to find the full length, but I couldn't find one quick enough, so I just went with it.
Number one.
That's what I do. Number one, I'm going to switch it on the fly real quick because we're about to head out. Kevin Acey tweeting just a little bit ago, a couple minutes ago actually, that Matt Strom, pitcher for the Padres, has avoided arbitration by agreeing to a one-year deal worth just more than $2 million. So he will be back with the team next year.
Shout out to Matt Strom. Congratulations on a little raise there. Happy to have him back. Good lefty out of the bullpen for the Padres, can do a bunch of different things. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we reset the show. 5 o'clock hour on the way. Gwen and Chris. Plus, we got Nick Costos. Almost forgot. For our gambling folks out there, this is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.